This is Morning Edition from NPR News. I'm Bob Edwards. Some government guidelines that are making it easier for developers to drain wetlands also are improving the man-made wetlands built to replace them. Instead of having the developers who drain wetlands recreate them in close proximity, the government is encouraging developers to buy credits at what are called wetlands banks, leading entrepreneurs to build new wetlands elsewhere. From member station WSKU in Kent, Ohio, Julie Grant reports.
When builders drain natural wetlands, they're expected to replace them. The U.S. Environmental Protection Agency and the Army Corps of Engineers encourage developers to create new wetlands nearby. But a committee formed by the National Academy of Sciences found most of those on-site wetlands fail. Environmental attorney Royal Gardner was on the committee and says the new wetlands tend to be little more than gravel-lined ditches with cattails and other invasive species growing in the murky runoff.
We found through various follow-up studies that doesn't really work. There's no incentive for that developer to spend a lot of money. There's no incentive to do a particularly good job, and there's certainly no incentive to manage the site for long term. So mitigation failed a great deal when it was provided by permittees.
Under new government guidelines, if it looks like on-site wetlands projects will fail, developers are encouraged to buy credits at wetland banks instead. Many say such banks have a better chance of environmental success because they're larger, better regulated, and more often built by people with ecological interests. There's some sun peeking through the fall clouds in northeast Ohio as Steve Pansner walks around his 150-acre wetland bank. His family raised onions here a few years ago. Now these fields are saturated so marshes and wet meadows can form. It was the government that paid Pansner's grandfather to drain his property in the 1920s. Steve Pansner will be the last in his family to farm this land as he reverses the process.
We decided to quit farming. We decided that farming was going to stop in Ohio for small farmers, and we were deciding the best use of the land.
Developers weren't interested in building on Pansner's soft, wet soils, so he decided the most profitable use would be to restore the wetlands and sell each acre as a development credit. That means businesses that want to destroy wetlands can pay Pansner about $20,000 an acre to recreate them on his farm. There are more than 300 banks around the country, most operated by entrepreneurs. While Pansner might not make much money, in states like Virginia, wetland bankers get more than $100,000 an acre. Pansner says he makes more money this way than he would farming, but it's not making him rich.
It takes a lot of money to do the project in the first place. It's not something that, well, we just turn off the pumps, let the water go, and we'll have a wetland. It just doesn't quite work that way. There is some engineering involved in it.
Pansner first had to scrape off 18 inches of topsoil, which now sit as mountains of muck on the property. He's been planting seeds in the dark, watery soils and weeding out invasive plants. Wetlands are like sponges. They hold water and help prevent flooding. They also work sort of like kidneys because they clean water as it filters through. Chris Bunch, director of the local land conservancy, is glad Pansner is building quality wetlands, but he still has concerns.
The challenge is that the price for doing that is the loss of other functioning wetlands in other areas. We're going to lose good, high-quality wetlands in other places. And so, you know, the question is the trade-off in the long term appropriate?
Wetland scientist Siobhan Fennessy at Kenyon College in Ohio says banks create their own ecological problems. She says they can encourage developers to degrade natural wetlands because it's so easy to buy a credit. Smaller wetlands dotted throughout a watershed can provide more value than one large wetland, and she worries that large banks can't replicate the unique functions of forested bottomlands, bogs, and fens.
So the idea with a no net loss policy is that we're getting back what we're losing. We'll allow this natural site to go, you know, to be destroyed, but we don't really have to worry about that as an environmental impact because we're getting back the same thing over in this different location. And the fact is, there's no evidence to support that idea. We're not getting back what we're losing.
But Steve Pansner believes he's recreating something of value. He's already seeing not only lots of wetland plants, but hundreds of ducks, songbirds, and frogs return to his family farm. For NPR News, I'm Julie Grant.